So we have been talking about the Apostle John for like forever. Does anybody remember when we started? It was last fall, actually. We started talking about the Apostle John from his gospel, and we went through the whole gospel, and then we went into his letters, and today is the last time in John. So I'm going to do something a little different. Well, not here in the beginning, but I'm going to ask you, at the end of the sermon, we're going to have a little debrief time, so you can share with me anything you have learned about John, who he was, maybe some of the lessons you've learned personally. I'm just curious what you remember, what you take away from these months as we've looked at the Apostle John. So we conclude these writings of John with the very shortest books in all the Bible. There's 13 verses in 2 John and 14 verses in 3 John. I'm sure we'll visit John's words from time to time as we're looking at the scriptures in the future. They are the shortest books in the Bible, so I'm assuming, as I said on Facebook, that it should be the shortest sermon of the whole series, right? Shortest book, shortest sermon. We'll see if they are. In a first glance, these letters seem very much alike, even though they're short. They seem very similar. But they're definitely different than the first letter John wrote, in that they feel a little more personal, a little more intimate in some ways, and they resemble the letters that we see from the Apostle Paul, in that they have the person who sent it, the sender, they have the recipient, they have a greeting, and then they have some words of goodbye. It's kind of a benchmark of most letters, they have that. The first John book was actually more of a theological paper, like he was writing for a website or for a magazine, something like that, that he expressed some words for churches. So, times have changed from those days of handwritten letters. They've changed from the days I grew up, when letters were one of the main ways you communicated with people who were far away. I remember my mom writing pages and pages of letters to her relatives. Nowadays, we have email, we have Facebook, FaceTime, Skype, text messages, Twitter, Instagram, and actually it goes on and on and on with the type of ways we can communicate. But in John's day, he had to use parchment to write on, some kind of a parchment paper, and he had to use a personal messenger. And no, I'm not talking about Facebook. He actually had to send a person to deliver the message. In 2 John, we have a letter written to a church on the outskirts of a region that the Apostle John was more or less overseeing. In this case, he used some very endearing words. Words like the lady, similar to the bride of Christ. He used feminine terms that express that. And he identifies himself as the elder, which makes sense. He was very old, as we'll talk about in a bit. But he used kind and words that said he appreciated them. It's fairly similar to other writings, and very similar to things we've talked about for the last number of weeks. So this second book, we're going to go through fairly quickly, but just look at some of the quick observations before we get on to the next letter. So verses 1 through 3, the elder, to the lady chosen by God and to her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all who know the truth. Because of the truth which lives in us, we will be and will be with us forever, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. John is known as one of the original disciples, as we've talked about many times, and he was the youngest when he was a disciple of all the disciples, or one of the youngest, and he grew to be like 100 years of age, so he is quite elderly, and I'm sure everybody around him appeared as children. It's amazing as you grow older how everybody becomes children. But John is writing to really what is a small house church. It's a church most likely that met in a home, and he shares a message that we've seen before, truth, love, and obedience. You look at those phrases from verse 4, walking in truth, from verse 6, walk in obedience, another in verse 6, walk in love. And there were just priorities for John. He wanted us to be very aware of the truth. He wanted us to be obedient. But he wanted us to package it all with love. And that's what he does. We also saw John communicate to people that were in error in what they thought about Jesus Christ. Those who had left his church. Those who had talked heresy. And he used strong words. So here's this apostle of love, as he was known quite often, using words like deceiver and antichrist as he talked to people. He did not pull back from calling people what they needed to be called. He used those strong words. He also warns his church not to be discouraged, not to lose the work they put in, the heart that they have, as they pursue these goals for many years. And then in verses 9 through 11, there's a new phrase that shows up. I'll read, this is 2 John 9 through 11. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take them into your house or welcome them. Anyone who welcomes them shares in their wicked ways. So he uses the phrase run ahead, or the NLT says wanders away from the teachings of Christ. Those who do not take Scripture for what it says, but attach their own agendas. They try to get things they want through it. But John says, don't show them any hospitality. So how's that merge with your Christian values? You should be hospitable to everybody, should you not? Shouldn't we love everybody? I mean, that is a Christian virtue. But John's very aware of people who take the Scriptures and twist them to their own selfish ends. It's important that we consider the full context of what John is saying. And he's not saying don't practice hospitality. But what he is saying, for those in leadership who are teaching heresy, they're just using the church as a platform. They're using a church to not tell the truth, but to hurt the church. And what John is saying, don't facilitate them in their sin. Don't help them in their cause. So we need to consider the context. But in John's world, he's talking to a very specific group of people. But it would be true for us. If someone's teaching heresy from this pulpit, I would hope a church would react to it. In some ways, you have in the past. And that actually is very encouraging. But there is a general principle to be hospitable, a value that we must keep. But again, not only don't give them a platform to speak, but don't take care of them. Don't support them financially. Don't bring them into your home. It doesn't mean you hate them, but just have boundaries. And I appreciate this apostle of love showing us that he does have boundaries. And there's a line. There's things that, contrary to our society that say anything's possible, no, some boundaries are very healthy. It's a matter of safety. Spiritually and physically, for that matter. John ends his first letter with a greeting, with words talking about greeting them in the future face to face and getting to know them. And so he ends that second letter. So now we're going to move on to the third letter of John. It's only one verse longer. It's pretty short in itself, but it's a little more dynamic letter. You can feel, it just feels a little bit more personal as he communicates with his friend Gaius, who also lives on the edge of the ministry area that John's keeping an eye on. He gives a greeting of health and hope to his friend. And then he says there's no greater joy than hearing of his children walking in truth. And I guess by extension, he's talking about us, because we are an extension of his church. And I like to think we walk in the truth well. So John is commending Gaius for his faithfulness to God, for taking care of brothers and sisters in the area. John hears from many people of Gaius' high regard and appreciation that they have for him. He hears that all over. His faithfulness to the truth. And it appears he not only takes care of his health, he not only takes care of their housing, but he also looks to support them financially, which can be a big deal when you're in ministry. John encourages Gaius to keep with that, stay with that, keep doing that. It reminded me of the hospitality that Beth and I felt when we came here. Is in some ways almost overwhelming as people loved us, and we felt it and deeply appreciated it. But now the tone of this letter changes. It changes rather drastically. So this is the third letter of John, verses 9 through 10. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, do I have it up there? Yeah, you can see it. Diotrephes is goes on to say, who loves to be first will not welcome us. So when I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, spreading malicious nonsense about us. Not satisfied with that, he even refuses to welcome other believers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of his church. So here's a setting. John is in Ephesus. He's quite an elderly man. He oversees an area of Asia Minor, in Turkey to us today. He's one of the earliest disciples, age-wise, and likely could very well be the last disciple or apostle. He works with many churches, many house churches, many small gatherings of Christians all over the place, and he looks to guard them, to protect them. He looks to care and shepherd them. And he's looking out for those who do harm, those who want to destroy the church, actually. He communicates as best he can through letters and messengers to leadership all over the place, to leadership that is spread out. In the past, I've worked with many of small group, a lot of them, ones in different areas, and I know it takes quite a level of just management. You can't do it all on your own if you have very many. Your span of care is like 6 to 12 at the max. And you know John had many more than that. So I'm sure he had leaders all around, and he looked to stay in touch with those leaders. He looked to develop his leaders, to help them to be on target. It's tend to be quite the challenge when you have different personalities. You have a different gift mix where some are strong and some are more timid. Some are very charismatic and some are not. They have different backgrounds, strengths and weaknesses. But through all that, in Jesus Christ, we can find unity. It's no different than the body of Christ with all the different gifts and personalities. We can find unity in the fellowship and work of Jesus Christ. So verse 9 indeed introduced the name Diotrephes. Evidently, Diotrephes had a strong, competitive, charismatic nature. You find the word. I think there's a lot into the words. He always wanted to be first. There's nothing wrong with competition and excelling. I saw Kevin racing his car as he tried to be first, didn't quite make it Friday night. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about being first when it's inappropriate, when it's even selfish. So, but John brings up another name. It's a personal messenger he sent, Demetrius. John is telling Gaius in the letter not to imitate evil, but to imitate what is good. And he wants to know Demetrius is a good person. Many don't do what God wants them to do. Demetrius does. And John wanted Gaius to know that, that he does good. You can trust him. Everybody knows Demetrius does good. But John wants Gaius to have confidence in this messenger, this personal messenger that he sent. And so he says those words. John concludes this private note, the same almost ending that he had on the last one. I look forward to seeing you. I will get there. Please give my greeting to all the churches in your area or all the house churches. So that completes the short letters. It's fairly brief. So what do we see in John's third letter that could be applications for us? That could be something practical for us today. There's some very obvious ones. But I think I want to take it to something that John, we see in this letter. We've seen it through much of his writings is how he deals with conflict. John gives us a great example of how he deals with conflict and how he changes things, how he customizes his approach to different situations. Because as I found, not all situations are similar. Sometimes they're very unique and take unique strategies. So I have 5 observations, 5 lessons for us in John's example here. As John has dealt with all those areas he oversees and he has trusted people in place, as he deals with a leader who has gotten power hungry. You see, strong people like Diotrephes, they often become leaders and teachers because they're strong. They have a lot of confidence. They speak well in public. But leadership is more than just being strong. Just more than having confidence. A leader, if they're not careful, can misuse their gifts. They can run in error. They can do damage to people. They can create an environment that's actually abusive. So lesson number 1 is pick mature and wise leaders. People who themselves understand the dangers possible with leadership. A leader needs to be teachable, faithful, and especially open to accountability, open to other people speaking into their lives. A very good friend of mine not too long ago pulled me aside and had some, I don't want to say unkind words, but really they were very kind words. They gave me some instruction, some things they thought I could improve in, and wow, I can tell you, the wounds of a friend are like gold. They're awesome. Not always easy to take, but a true leader of Jesus Christ needs that, wants that, looks for that. So the way to have good leaders is to start out with good leaders. Trouble is most people just aren't there automatically. A lot of leadership skills are learned through experience and awareness. But the truth is, over time, and with the grace of God, many people can be leaders. They can develop. Lesson number 2, be involved and don't back down from conflict. Oftentimes, we must be bold. We need to avoid taking the easy way out and just letting things be. We need to deal with the matters as they come up, as much as possible, as early as we can. There's nothing like truthful, loving, face-to-face, direct involvement, where you deal with matters firsthand. It's just the best approach to deal with it directly. John tried doing it from a distance. He did what he could. He sent letters. He sent messengers. He tried different strategies to pursue. Which brings us to lesson number 3. Expose the action to others. When it's appropriate, and keeping the loop small, allow others to assist. It's really important you keep the loop as small as possible, as long as possible, for a variety of reasons. But really, you need sometimes other people to speak into it to help develop clarity so you can see what's going on. Really, other people can be such help to deal with issues. They're a wonderful resource, especially when you think about the Holy Spirit working through other Christians in the body of Christ, allowing them to speak into things appropriately again. And you notice I keep saying appropriate because all these areas can go askew. They can go and do damage. So that's important. Verse 10 said that John was going to call attention to Diotrephes, what he was doing. He was going to call attention and show, look what he's doing. He was going to point it out. My advice to any leader is don't do it alone. And I can tell you as a pastor, I don't want to do anything alone. Matter of fact, I went to the dentist this week. I think I called Jana. I'm at the dentist, just so you know. Sometimes I call AJ. AJ, I'm doing this, just so you know. I'll call, Daryl or I haven't called Burdell yet, but I intend to sometime, Burdell. You know, just other people so they know where I'm at. I don't have a secret life. You need to know that. So, let's follow John's example with that. Lesson number four, keep communication open. John, on his task, was really unrelenting. He stayed with it. He wanted to, his goal was to resolve the issue. That's what he was pursuing. So he worked at staying in communication, but not just with the parties, but some of those around, as we've talked about. He sent letters. He sent a letter. It was rejected. He sent another letter to someone close by to keep him in a loop. He strove to keep communication open so he could still pursue resolution. Sometimes we can't control that, but the part you can control, you should pursue. And the last one, number five, be motivated by truth, love, and hope. We need to always look for those that are involved to see the truth. To see the truth and maybe make the changes that are needed to honor Jesus Christ. We need to keep in focus that the Spirit of God is at work. And we need to trust God that He's the one that fights the battle. John was motivated by truth, obedience, and hope as he dealt with the matters. He wasn't looking to throw Diotrephes off the boat, which I found fascinating. He wasn't looking to shoo him out the door. He had the authority to do whatever he wanted. He was the apostle. He was the apostle, likely. But instead, he sought to deal with it as any other Christians would. I found it, he didn't call him a deceiver, an antichrist. So he's not throwing his full weight against him. But John was doing as what any Christian should do, pursuing it with wisdom and truth and carefully moving forward as much as he could. As Christians, I know you're all aware that as we deal with struggles, as we deal with conflict, if I ask for a show of hands, how many people love conflict? Really, none of us like conflict. None of us like it at all. But it's during these times, during the hard times, the struggles that we go through, that God teaches us lessons. Our churches need to work well at how we handle conflict, how we handle truth, how we do it directly, but with love. And John's given us real service here as he's showing us how in this situation, as we've seen in other situations, how he's dealt with really hard struggle. Sadly, the skills are so needed today. They're needed today as they've been needed all through history. I'm going to read a verse that says words I want you to hear as you think about conflicts you deal with, as you think about struggles that can be so frustrating. Philippians 2, 1 through 2. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, and of one mind. The church in Philippi was being persecuted. They were very much suffering. You can imagine what comes to the surface as you go through persecution, as you go through tough times. And this church in John's third letter was going through a real tough time. Let me pray. Lord, as we deal with life in this fallen world, as we deal with the struggles, please give us that wisdom. Give us that discernment. Give us that boldness as we need to deal with issues that come up. Give us a heart to resolve things, a heart to communicate well. Let us know how to best use the communication avenues that we have to complete the tasks you have put before us. Guide us as a church. Guide us as a people. Guide us as individuals. Not just in conflict, but how we live our lives, the choices we make. Be with us. Help us to be strong. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I haven't forgotten what I wanted to do. I wanted to ask you about the Apostle John. So we just completed the best, more than half a year of his writings. You've learned a lot. Some of them are obvious things, so the first answer should be fairly easy for you. What have you learned about the Apostle John? How old was he when he was an original disciple? What's that? One of the youngest. Like, she took the easiest answer, okay. Okay, how old did he live to? 100, yeah. If you had to give him a title, what are an adjective to his name, what would you call him? The apostle of love? Yeah, that's an obvious one. How about truth? The apostle of truth. Yeah, he was very convicted to communicate the truth. The apostle of foundation. It is not by accident, like if you go to a Billy Graham crusade, quite often they'll give you the Gospel of John because that's foundational. That's basic to our beliefs. Who is Jesus Christ? You might remember that. What are some of the stories you remember from the Gospel or from his letters? What was some of the lessons or things he had to deal with? The church that he ran in his later life, yeah, that's a good point, Cody. The church he ran later life was kind of messy. Actually, it was really messy. It was involved with splits. It is interesting how God quite often grows the church through separation. You see that sometimes positively, sometimes negatively. But I found it comforting that the Apostle John, had a messy church. The people weren't perfect. He could not control them. And what did you see? What did he do during that? Yeah, he had an interest in stay engaged, keeping communication open, working through it as much as he could. What do you think about his name calling? Was it appropriate? Was it truthful? How many think it was appropriate? How many think it was very inappropriate? Okay, we have a little minority group there. It is interesting to see this apostle of love calling somebody names. And I think the danger was so great, he went to drastic measures. He went to drastic measures to communicate the truth, how important it is to stay with the truth, how important it is for us to know the truth, to stay with the truth. Okay, any other thoughts? Okay, well, thanks for participating.